Our first scripture reading this morning is from Exodus 16, verses 1 through 3 and 13 through 26, pages 62 and 63 in the Old Testament of your pew Bibles. Let us listen for the word of God. The whole congregation of the Israelites set out from Elim, and Israel came to the wilderness of Sin, which is between Elim and Sinai, on the 15th day of the second month after they had departed from the land of Egypt. The whole congregation of the Israelites complained against Moses and Aaron in the wilderness. The Israelites said to them, "If only we had died by the hand of the Lord in the land of Egypt, when we sat by the flesh pots and ate our fill of bread, for you have brought us out into this wilderness to kill us, to kill this whole assembly with hunger." In the evening, quails came up and covered the camp. And in the morning, there was a layer of dew about the camp. When the layer of dew lifted, there was on the surface of the wilderness was a fine, flaky substance, as fine as frost on the ground. When the Israelites saw it, they said to one another, "What is it?" For they did not know what it was. Moses said to them, "It is the bread that the Lord has given you to eat. This is what the Lord has commanded. Gather as much of it as each of you needs, an omer to a person according to the number of persons, all providing for those in their own tents." The Israelites did so, some gathering more, some less. But when they measured it with an omer, those who gathered much had nothing left over, and those who gathered little had no storage, no shortage. They gathered as much as each of them needed. And Moses said to them, "Let no one leave any of it over until morning." But they did not listen to Moses. Some left part of it until morning, and it bred worms and became foul. And Moses was angry with them. Morning by morning they gathered it as much as they needed, but when the sun grew hot, it melted. On the sixth day they gathered twice as much food, two omers apiece. When all of the leaders of the congregation came and told Moses, he said to them, "This is what the Lord has commanded. Tomorrow is a day of solemn rest, a holy Sabbath to the Lord. Bake what you want to bake and boil what you want to boil, and all that is left over, put aside to be kept until morning." So they put it aside until morning as Moses commanded them, and it did not become foul. There were no worms in it. Moses said, "Eat it today, for today is a Sabbath to the Lord. Today you will not find it in the field. For 6 days you shall gather it, but on the seventh day, which is a Sabbath, there will be none." Hear what the Spirit is saying.
Thanks be to God.
Our second scripture reading today is from John 6, 30 through 35, on page 98 of your New Testament Pew Bible. Let us listen for the word of the Lord. So they said to him, "What sign are you going to give us then, so that we may see it and believe you? What work are you performing? Our ancestors ate the manna in the wilderness. As it is written, he gave them bread from heaven to eat." Then Jesus said to them, "Very truly I tell you, it was not Moses who gave you the bread from heaven, but it was my Father who gives you the true bread from heaven. For the bread of God is that which comes down from heaven and gives life to the world." They said to him, "Sir, give us this bread always." Jesus said to them, "I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me will never be hungry, and whoever believes in me will never be thirsty." Hear what the Spirit is saying.
Please look around the congregation this morning and find two people who catch your eye. Pick one person and then image another person. There's some folk up in the balcony. You can look up in the balcony. Be sure to look at the choir. And then we're going to pray for one another. Let us bow our heads. Pray silently for the first person that you noticed. Image them in your mind. It may not be someone you know at all. But pray for them that as they worship this morning, that whatever their journey is in life, wherever they are on their journey, that in the music, the prayers, the words spoken, that they might receive a word that will encourage them in their journey today. And then silently pray for the second person you noticed. Pray that wherever they are in their journey, that God might speak into their life today. And then pray for yourself that your heart and mind might be open to the word that God would say to you today. It may be a word that's spoken aloud. It may be a word that's spoken to you silently during worship. Pray for your heart and mind to be open. Amen. New Year's coming. It is actually in just a few hours going to be the year 2013. I wanted us to think a bit this morning about resolutions, change, and beginning new journeys. As Dawn said, the theme for the entire year of 2013 is going to be journey. Every sermon series we do in 2013 is going to be about some aspect of being on a journey. And we want to start this morning and then continue throughout the month of January by thinking about beginning a new journey in our life, making changes in our lives. I'd venture that most of us have changes we'd like to make in our lives. Some of us might want to exercise more and lose weight and live healthier lives. Some of us might want to drink less or stop drinking altogether. Some of us might be thinking about trying to find new jobs, or we might want to quit our job and go back to school and get another degree, or we might want to change careers. Some of us might want to find somebody and fall in love and get married. Some of us might want to deal with a troubled relationship that we're in, or we might want to have children and become parents. Some of us might want to buy a house. We might want to relocate to another part of the country. We might want to travel less in our work. We might want to travel more in our leisure. We might want to make more money. We might want to live lives in which we need less money. Some of us might want to have more power and recognition in our lives. Or we might want to have less stress, or we might want to have more meaning, or more of a sense of wholeness. We might want to grow emotionally and spiritually. We might want to start doing therapy. We might want a deeper relationship to God. But I'd venture to say that for many of us in this room this morning, that we might want to begin some new journey in life in 2013, that we might want to make some changes in our life in 2013. And this is what we know about change. We know two things. We know it's possible. Change is possible. I know people who have made every change in their life that I've just used as examples. I know people who have lost weight and gotten healthier, and they've managed to keep the weight off and be healthier for years and years. I know people who have quit their jobs and gone back to school and changed careers. I know people who have, after years of not finding someone, found someone and fallen in love and gotten married. I know people who have done whatever they needed to do to become parents. Change is possible. It's possible for us to find new paths in our life, to take new paths, to begin a new journey. That's the first thing we know. Change is possible. The second thing that we know is that change is hard. Next week, the gym that I go to will be crowded. It will be hard for me to get on the equipment I prefer to use. This happens every January. But I know that by mid-February, everything will be back to normal. Change is hard and change is scary. Changing your job is scary. Quitting a job to go back to school after you've been used to a regular paycheck is scary. Letting yourself risk falling in love is scary. Facing problems in your relationship is scary. Change is hard and change is scary. So here at the beginning of a new year and during the month of January, we want to look at the experience of the Israelites in the book of Exodus after they have left Egypt, after they've crossed over the Red Sea, and as they've begun their journey toward the Promised Land. What was change like for them? What can we learn from them about how to begin new journeys in our lives? And so we'll be looking at the book of Exodus and asking the question of what can we learn from the Israelites when they began a new journey about how we can begin new journeys that we feel led to and called to in our lives. Here are a couple of learnings about change based on the experience of the Israelites in the book of Exodus. Change is inspired and motivated by a vision of new possibilities that draw us toward them. But it always means letting go of something. There's no taking hold of something new without letting go of something else. The Israelites, I love the book of Exodus. The Israelites had been slaves in Egypt for generations. They longed for freedom. They prayed to God for freedom. The book of Exodus says that they moaned and groaned to God, complaining about their condition, their plight in slavery, and praying for freedom. And God heard their complaints and sent them Moses to lead them out of slavery to the promised land of freedom. After long negotiations with Pharaoh, the oppressor, and a bunch of plagues, Pharaoh finally lets the Israelites leave Egypt. Then he changes his mind and sends his army to bring them back. But the Israelites escape through the Red Sea, and Pharaoh's army is drowned. If you haven't read the book, perhaps you've seen the movie. So change, after generations of being slaves and longing for freedom, change has finally come to the Israelites. They are free. They are beginning a new journey. As soon as they made it through the Red Sea, there is a big celebration. Miriam dances with her tambourine, and the women are excited, and the men are applauding, and everyone is excited because they are beginning a new journey to freedom, and they made it the first step through the Red Sea. And then we come to our scripture lesson of the morning. It says that it is now the 15th day of the second month after they have departed from the land of Egypt. They are 45 days into their journey toward freedom in the Promised Land. It is February 15th. It is mid-February of a new year. And Exodus 16, 2-3 says, "The whole congregation of the Israelites complained against Moses and Aaron in the wilderness. The Israelites said to them, 'If only we had died by the hand of the Lord in the land of Egypt when we sat by the flesh pots and ate our fill of bread, for you have brought us into this wilderness to kill this whole assembly with hunger.'" They had prayed for generations for God to save them and to grant them freedom. 45 days into their journey toward freedom, they want to go back and be slaves in Egypt again, because even if they had to work all day at work that they did not want to do, even if they had no control over their own destiny, even though the Egyptians could abuse them with impunity, they wanted to go back to Egypt because the food back in Egypt was good. There was barbecue in Egypt and cornbread, all you could eat. 45 days into the journey, after generations of prayer, they want to go back to Egypt because the food was good. When the same story is told in the book of Numbers, it says, the rabble among them had strong cravings, and the Israelites also wept again and said, if only we had meat to eat. We remember the fish we used to eat in Egypt for nothing. The cucumbers, the melons, the leeks, the onions, and the garlic. They missed garlic. They missed garlic so much that 45 days into their new journey toward freedom, the Israelites were ready to go back to being slaves as long as they could taste garlic again, barbecued and fried fish back in Egypt. Now, Moses demonstrates to the Israelites that they will not starve on their journey. God has provided them with bread for the journey. In the morning, on their journey, after the dew has dried, they find a fine, flaky substance like nothing they've ever seen before. When the Israelites first saw it, they looked at it, and they sort of rubbed it between their fingers and turned to one another and said, what is it? The Hebrew word for what is it is manna. And so when the Bible says they called it manna, what they were really calling it was, what is it? God provided them every day of their journey, what is it to eat? And there was enough, what is it, to boil and bake to sustain them on their journey. There was only enough for one day. Every morning there was enough, what is it, to eat for the day, just enough for the day. If they tried to keep it for more than one day, it became wormy. There was just enough for one day every morning, except Fridays, when there was enough for 2 days so that they could rest on the Sabbath. So every day on their journey, they had what is it to eat, and it was enough to sustain them. Still, they missed and longed for the flesh pots and fish and bread and garlic they ate back in Egypt. In fact, they experienced something like withdrawal. But the manna, the what is it, sustained them. Beginning a new journey always means giving something up. And part of the scary part of change is that we may not be aware at all before we begin the journey of what all it will mean for us in the way of sacrifice. We may well go through withdrawal and grief when we begin a new journey towards something that we have really wanted all our lives. We want to go back to school, but then we can't do the happy hours anymore the way we used to. We want to have a child, but then we find that our lifestyle is radically changed. And we hadn't thought about all of the sacrifice that's required to raise a child. We want to fall in love, but then we end up in bed night after night with someone who hogs the covers and snores. We want a deeper relationship with God, but then we discover that prayer is 80% boring and only 20% profound. And after 45 days, we are ready to give up. I don't mean to trivialize this. The cost of beginning a new journey can be very, very high. Change is hard. But here's the promise of Scripture. Here's the good news. If we are journeying toward a vision for our life that God has blessed, there will be bread in the morning. There'll be manna in the morning. There'll be enough to sustain us on our journey. There may not be more than we need to make it through the day. This is why the mantra of someone who is recovering is one day at a time. Just enough to make it through today. And then tomorrow will take care of itself, one day at a time. There will be enough to make it through the day. And on Friday, there may be grace enough to make it through the Sabbath as well. On a journey toward a new place in our lives, we may need to live one day at a time. In fact, it may be the only way we can live anyway. Tomorrow really isn't guaranteed for any of us. All of us, all we know is that we have this moment, we have this time. But on a journey to a new place, we may need to give up our illusions of security and safety. There may only be enough to sustain us for the day, and when we're gathering it, when we're collecting it to sustain us for the day, we may not even know what the heck it is. It may be, what is it? What is it that sustains us? But it sustains us for the day. This is the good news and the promise. If God blesses our journey, if it is a journey toward a good and fine place, there will be manna in the morning. The first Christians, when they began their new journey of following Jesus toward their promised land of justice and inclusion, they said in the book of John that Jesus was their manna from heaven. Jesus was what saw them through the day. This strange person who died on a cross and in dying showed us the path toward life, this what is it guy, who is he guy? Jesus was their manna from heaven. And Jesus can be our manna from heaven, our bread from heaven, who sustains us one day at a time as we begin our journeys toward our promised lands. Our lands of freedom, our lands of fulfillment, our lands of love and commitment, our lands of hope. Whatever it is in your life that is calling you, maybe freedom, maybe justice, health, inclusion, affirmation, recognition, sobriety, wholeness, joy. Whatever it is in your life that's calling you on a new journey, Jesus can be your bread from heaven who will sustain you through your journey one day at a time.